south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, here's a good one. Comes from Lester. He says, Johnny, your show is all about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great in Latin America. Because you've lived there a long time, can you tell us the things you absolutely hate about Latin America that you know you can never change? I think I know a few of them. One being reggaeton music. I listen every week, as always. Signed, Lester. Well, Les, yes, reggaeton music's on my top 10 hate list. And there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. Even when I have a little get-together at my own place. Now remember, I'm way off the gringo tourist trail, so I have very few gringo expat friends. Most of them are Latinas and Latinos. And right away, the boombox is blasting reggaeton. And what am I supposed to do? Throw a wet blanket on the party? Nah, I just have to put on a happy face and internally cringe. Same thing goes for practically every mom-and-pop store you walk into. The blasting of reggaeton music. Now, of course, in franchise stores like Walmart and big box stores like Costco and the big malls, they know better than to play reggaeton. They're generally playing more toned-down Latin rock or Latin ballad music, which is okay. You know, salsa, samba. I mean, hell, Latinos invented that, and they're really good at it. It's just that reggaeton and Latin rock that absolutely drive you nuts. So you either have to accept it or somehow figure out a way to tune it out. Problem is, for me, as you longtime listeners know, I'm a B-grade musician. Not fantastic at any particular instrument, but I can play a lot of them adequately. And maybe because of that, and because I've got a really precise ear for musical mistakes, flubs, and sour notes. That's certainly why I'm hypersensitive about my musical dislike. Though I gotta say, one of the things you'll notice when you're down here a while is that Latinos just break into a song at any particular time. But they do need the music, so they're not gonna just start singing. Only if they sing more than a couple bars, they'll start swiveling their hips too, which is pretty cool and interesting because I can't do it. Very few gringos or gringas can pull that off like a Latina or a Latino can. So be ready for it. And be ready for the fact that if you're with a group of Latinas or Latinos and they're busting a 30-second move in a bank, a parking lot, or a Walmart, they'll try to get you to do it too. For me, a completely unacceptable situation. So again, if there's a song playing in the background they absolutely love, they'll just start singing, bust out with a few lines. Problem is, 95% of the people in all the world can't sing, including Latinos and Latinas. That means 95% of the time when a Latino or Latina starts vocalizing, if you've got an ear for music at all, it'll just grate on you. Though once in a while, a 5% or one with a really good voice will really make you crack a smile and surprise you. So I don't really categorize how Latinos break into a song as something I hate. It's just annoying sometimes, probably most times. As is the fact that anytime you walk into a bar, restaurant, or mom and pop tienda, the TV will be way too loud and it'll seem there's only two available channels, sports and soap operas. Deportes y telenovelas. I'm used to that stuff, and ordinarily it doesn't bother me unless it's really loud. Then sometimes I'll tell the waiter to turn it down, and they usually do. But somehow, Latinas, especially Latinas, have a talent and a knack for having entire conversations with a TV or boombox on maximum. I'm talking reggaeton at full blast, which makes it even more painful to hear. All right, let's continue with what drives me nuts in Latin America that I just can't change. Well, how about those tumulos, those terrible speed bumps that are sometimes so high off the ground, you actually bottom out, and it's a cringeworthy event. And for a split second, you think the worst, that it's sheared off your oil drain plug, and that's an immediate and very serious problem. So for tumulos, there's nothing you can do about it except buy a pickup truck or a mini SUV, something that's a little high off the ground, maybe 6 to 9 inches of ground clearance would be good. By the way, I've checked the ground clearance on new pickups and SUVs, and the highest ground clearance I'm seeing is with a Tesla Model Y and a Jeep Cherokee, about 9 inches. Another thing that drives me nuts and you can't do anything about are the traffic cops. Every city has them, especially during a rush hour. Problem is, though, they've got sub-moron IQs, aka shit for brains. And they always seem to make the traffic all that much worse. And I'll tell you, everyone to a person will admit that if they didn't exist at all, the traffic would continue to flow, more than likely much better. Another thing about Latin America that drives me nuts and you just can't change? The fact that everyone, and I mean everyone, is on mañana time. Call an electrician, a plumber, an air conditioning guy. They'll say they're coming first thing in the morning. Well, you're lucky if they make it there any time tomorrow. That you can count on. Worse yet, even though everyone's on WhatsApp and it doesn't cost a cent to text you or call you, they won't. The end of the day will roll around. You'll call or text them, and they'll say, lo siento, famous last words, I'm sorry. I'll be there tomorrow. Realistically, the only time you can sort of count on a Latino worker getting there on time is if you're scheduled as the very first appointment of the day, 8 or 9 o'clock. But still, it's probably less than a 50-50 shot. The other thing you can't change, and which is pretty annoying, is that most places lack the sanitation you're used to up in the first world. That includes mom-and-pop restaurants, health clubs, strip malls, and movie theaters. And man, you're really taking a chance if you use the restroom at a gas station. Of course, in the States, they're the lowest rung on the bathroom ladder too, but here in Latin America, they're even worse. Though on the plus side, all international chains and franchises have to maintain certain first world standards. That's why it's a good bet if you can't wait to hit McDonald's, Burger King, or Kentucky Fried. Hey, I've done it. That's one of the only reasons I go into any of those places. Though they are really good places to have a short business meeting. Everyone knows where they are and are centrally located. And about that sanitation and hygiene problem. Unfortunately, it also includes your Latino friends and neighbors. So when you're invited to a quinceañeros party or a barbecue, whatever, be prepared for the worst when you go into the kitchen or the bathroom. Although, epidemiologists and biologists will tell you, that's probably why the Latino population is good and hardy. You know, Darwinism working through the ages, so the survivors today, they can drink their water out of a tap, eat as many tacos on the street as they want, and still not be too much troubled by old Montezuma. Again, that's one thing you can't change when you're visiting other people's houses or eating street food or going to mom-and-pop restaurants, etc. That's why I always recommend, no matter how good the food looks, you're taking a big chance if it's street food. And as far as the barbecue at Julio's house next door, go ahead, knock yourself out, but don't eat any of the cold salad plates. If it's cooked and still hot, normally it's A-okay. It's those raw fruit and vegetable dishes that'll get you. But in your own home, you could and should train up your maid or cleaning lady to first world hygiene standards, or you'll suffer the consequences. And there's a hygiene problem with taxis and Ubers, too. Generally, their cars are just filthy. Though I know, to be an Uber driver, you have to have a decent car. You upload pictures to the Uber website to apply and get accepted as a driver. But that's only at the beginning when you first get started working for them. And still, there are way more regular taxis than Ubers here in Latin America, so you must be prepared for the worst. Ubers, at least, seem to be fairly new cars with some standards. But regular taxis can be complete junks. I'd say at least half of the regular taxis here in Latin America would have already spent some years in the junkyard had they been in service as a taxi up in the States. Okay, another on the top five of my Latin American irritations, the fact that no skilled worker, contractor, or repair guy ever cleans up after himself. And if you let them use your restroom, look out. And as for the job itself, your painter will get drips and drabs and overspray on your windows and floors. He won't clean it up. Oh, he might try, but he won't get it all. Your plumber will cut pipes and drill holes and he'll leave the mess on the floor. And even if you tell him, look, the job's not done, you gotta clean up, he'll do a half-assed job of it. Electricians and carpenters will leave their grubby fingerprints everywhere, too. So if you've got white walls, look out. And if you say, hey, wait a minute, you got to clean it up before you leave, they'll give it a half-assed try, but never really to your satisfaction. In fact, just recently, a gringo friend of mine had some solar panels installed on his house. The system was all fired up. He'd been using it for a while. And then the rainy season came, and he had to go up on the roof for some reason or another. And he noticed under the panels, because they're lifted off from the roof about a half foot, there were empty tubes of roof sealant, chunks of the metal mounting system they didn't use, a couple of dozen stainless steel bolts and washers, and assorted empty soda cans and junk food wrappers, some of which got stuck in his gutters, and that's why he went up on the roof in the first place. The rainy season came, and the roof wasn't draining properly. And we're talking about professional solar panel installers. That's all they do every day. Oh, and look out when you get your car repaired. Of course, you could take it to a dealer. You'll pay twice or three times as much than if you used a little local mechanic working out of a shack. And though you'll save a ton of money using the neighborhood guy, he won't put any protection on the floor mats or the seats of your car. Those guys are filthy from crawling under cars and changing oil. Even before the COVID thing, you wouldn't want to shake hands with them. In fact, they know they're loaded with filth and grime, so they just give you a fist bump. Yet another thing that drives me nuts. In fact, after having my car seats munged up a few times, I actually carry an old beach towel in the trunk. And when I take it to the mechanic, I tuck it over my front seat every time. So let that be a lesson to you when you buy a car here in Latin America too. My advice, never buy a car with light-colored upholstery. Even though dark brown, gray, and black will get hotter in the sun and absorb more heat. It's a trade-off. Either you have very hot seats, but stains that won't be noticed. Or would you rather have cream-colored or white upholstery like so many cars do these days and have them looking crappy in a hurry? Another thing on my list of things that drive me nuts here and I can't change? Latinos with dogs. Hey, I don't care how they take care of their dogs. That's their business. But when I walk into their house, I don't want that guy jumping up and pawing me. And when I sit in the living room, I don't want him jumping up on my lap. And I don't like seeing little carpet stains everywhere. It makes you suspicious. You know how when you walk into a house and it smells like cat or dog, you really don't feel good about sitting on the furniture. But that's just me, and maybe I'm too picky. And finally on my list, of course there are hundreds of things I really like about Latin America, but someone asked, what don't I like? All right, and the final thing on this list for today anyway is the fact that you can walk into practically any kind of store, an appliance store, hardware store, electronic parts store, Walmart, Costco, whatever, and the people working there, the ones with, you know, little badges and stickers that say, hi, I'm an employee, I'm here to help you. The sad thing is, they know less about the products or even where they're located than you do. I mean, really, way back when I lived in Chicago, I used to frequent hardware stores a lot. They had lots of mom and pop ones back then. Even in the big hardware stores, the people working there knew what they were talking about. If you were looking for a certain kind of latch, fastener, lock, paint, whatever, they actually knew about that stuff and could give you helpful tips. But here in Latin America, forget about it. Of course, it might be that way up in the States now, too. I don't know. Because the era of mom and pop grocery and hardware stores is long gone. All right, moving on. You know, I've got lots of listeners in Mexico. And the emails pro and con for living or getting the hell out of Mexico are trickling in all the time. Though more and more during this COVIDiot thing, emailers are getting fed up living there. Like, for example, this email coming from longtime listener Bob, who says now the Mexican government's starting to force mandate the COVIDiot facts. Hey, that's no good. And it's completely against free-thinking libertarian principles. And here's the dope on it. Most of the following facts come from Mexico News Daily. Bob starts by saying, the Mexican president just basically ordered the army to vax everyone in Oaxaca State and Chiapas, Veracruz, Guerrero, and Puebla states. As you might have heard, some of the villages are bucking this and are saying, hell no, I'm not getting vaxxed. We'll see how that goes. But as gringo expat tourists, I can't see us getting targeted. But if you pass the wrong roadblock or checkpoint, they might be setting you up for a jab. Also, Johnny, another ominous trend. In Mexico's Quintana Roo, the governor and Mazatlan mayor say no one can go into any public space without proof of vax or a test in the last 72 hours. Then he gives me the news links to these crackdown stories. Then Bob continues, Johnny, the truth is coming out and this whole scam may be exposed by year's end. The CDC's got its own damning bombshells coming out just this past week. What do you think, Johnny? I will summarize what's just come out. The CDC admits this week that the PCR tests detect just the common cold and flu viruses. It will be pulled by year's end. Bottom line, the PCR tests do not work correctly. All right, Bob, it's me. Well, you know, if you go over 25 with the multiplication, you'll get all kinds of false positives. Even Kerry Mullis, the guy who invented the test, got a Nobel Prize for it. He's dead now, unfortunately. He said over and over again, his own PCR test cannot detect if someone's really infected or not. But no, let's not listen to the guy who invented the PCR test and got the Nobel Prize for it. But there's loads of money to be made if you can give a worthless test a million times a day. By the way, Kerry Mullis, who invented the PCR test, said many times on record, Dr. Fauci is a fraud. And that was years ago, way before COVID. And then Bob states, amongst other things, the CDC's own stats say flu cases were down in 2020 by 76%. So where'd they all go? Well, they're relabeled as COVID now, right? Then, Bob lists some more things here, too. He's asking my take on this. Well, Bob, let me throw a little gas on the fire. There's something called VAERS. It's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Did you know about that? So there actually is a government website you can go to where you can report if you had some nasty secondary effects from the vax. Now, you may have heard of this site, VAERS. That's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Here's what you didn't know. Harvard University just released a study commissioned by the U.S. government concluding that the VAERS system vastly underreports adverse effects. Why is that? First of all, most people have never even heard of that reporting system, including many doctors. So in that Harvard study, they're saying that less than 10% of people who have had bad secondary reactions ever go and report it on that official government website. So whatever you do see on the website, the real numbers are at least 10 times worse. Now consider this and listen carefully. According to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS,
before COVID even came along, there were a total of 605 deaths linked to all vaccines reported in that year, 2019. 605 deaths. And then COVID came along, and so far, 11,405 people have been reported dead on that website. And if you multiply that by a conservative 10, because less than 10% report on that site, that's over 100,000 people dead due to severe COVID vaccine secondary effects. By the way, if you want a link to this website, send me an email, theexpertfiles@gmail.com. Now remember, less than 10% of people who have adverse effects get on that website and report it, because most of them just don't even know it exists. And if they did, how would they even get there and fill out the forms? But I'm looking at it right now, and as of July 23rd, 2021, just a few weeks ago, the reported adverse secondary effects include 11,940 deaths, 40,991 hospitalizations. Now remember, you got to multiply that by 10, which would mean over 400,000 hospitalizations due to adverse vaccine secondary effects. There have been 4,110 reported anaphylactic shock reactions on this site. Remember now, multiply that by 10, that's 40,000. There have been 3,714 cases of Bell's palsy as a secondary COVID-vax effect. Remember, you can multiply that number by 10, that's 37,000. And there have been 1,272 miscarriages reported on the site due to the COVID-vax secondary effects. Remember again, you can multiply that by 10, that's 12,000 miscarriages. There have been 4,700 registered heart attacks. Remember, you got to multiply that by 10, that's 47,000. There have been 22,000 severe allergic reactions. Remember, multiply that by 10, it's 220,000 people having severe allergic reactions to the COVID-vax. There have been 6,000 reported cases of permanent tinnitus, that's ringing in the ears after the COVID-vax. Remember, again, that the Harvard report says that less than 10% of people report. Anyway, you get the point. So if you want this info, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. I'll be glad to send it to you. All right, now a very interesting email from a young guy who was born and raised in Venezuela. Obviously, he went to some kind of helicopter school, and he's going to grad school in the States right now. His English is very good. At least his written English is. It's from Carlos M. Charlie M. I've known quite a few Latinos named Carlos, and the ones that speak a bit of English, they always tell me to call him Charlie. That's okay. In fact, one of my English party rock bands had a Latino lead singer. His name was Carlos, and almost everyone except his parents called him Charlie. Anyway, Carlos says, I read somewhere, Johnny, that Americans seem to fund their own oppression. That's the exact reason why I left California last year. Having lived in a socialist country and moved to the U.S., I find myself solidly conservative, even though the media says most Latinos vote Democrat. Born and raised in a socialist country that starts with the letter V. I wonder which one that is. He says, I left with my parents when I was 22, when the government nationalized my parents' business. I was warned that life outside my country would be hard and dog eat dog. I had my doubts too. There was lots of propaganda in the public schools saying essentially capitalists eat their own. But you see, Johnny, my uncle's family lived in New York City, and my parents wanted out, and they found a way through him. For me, even though the media in my country repeatedly drums in our heads that the U.S. capitalist system is collapsing, so I was a bit scared to leave. I didn't have to go to New York with my parents, but I was curious about other people's beliefs and cultures, and I knew I could always go back to my home country, V, that I didn't even know was a shithole country because I had never been anywhere else. I had to visit other places to see that my country was seriously damaged, since my government censored many outlets, and we were told the world had problems like climate change and inequality. Though, even if things were not so good in our country now, it was much worse everywhere else. After I arrived in New York and finally made it to California, I realized people in this country, the United States, who complain about racism and sexism and bigotry and all the other isms are completely oblivious to the amounts of repression and oppression in the other parts of the world that they glorify, or they accuse the U.S. of having a big hand in undermining, like the country I was born in, Cuba, Russia, China. But you find that people who talk and have big platforms have never really visited those places and probably never will. And one of the only reasons, Johnny, I listened to your show and I bothered to write this to you is that you've got 30 years living in Latin America, so you understand my points. You're no tourist. So I came to the U.S. and went to graduate school there, liberal arts. You don't know how many
fellow college-educated students and graduate students I ran into who think those socialist countries I previously mentioned would be utopias if not for the covert harassment and embargo tactics of the U.S. It's so pathetically sad for me to see the socialist rot that's taken hold here in California, that's spreading across the nation, even Canada. It seems hopeless. I have something to say about Latinos and happiness, too. We Latinos are generally a happy bunch, but unlike North Americans, we can be both happy and uncomfortable with our living conditions, too. Unlike North Americans, no matter how comfortable they are or how many things they have, Americans find or invent ways to be unhappy. The other thing is, the more hardline the government, like where I came from, people are happy about what they're told to be happy about, and they get mad about things they are told to be mad about or hate. They have to conform to that in public or the going is tough. To my big surprise, I found when I entered a graduate studies program in a California university, I found the liberal democratic U.S. education system was misnamed. Instead, it was highly authoritarian, with woke policies infecting the curriculum. Yet in most respects, students seem oblivious to it. As a Latin American immigrant, and being in a state with a high percentage of Latinos, I was even more surprised to find out that my new liberal university acquaintances, including second and third generation Latinos, were often patronizing and put off by my presence and my comments, even hateful sometimes to any other who disagrees with their politics. I sometimes get the feeling they put up with me and invite me to parties because they have to. Being nice to immigrant brown people seems to be part of the woke Ten Commandments. And though of all my schoolmates, I'm probably the only one who actually lived under socialism. No matter. They still seem to have no desire to hear my arguments in any depth. In discussions, they nod a lot, but I know they're thinking I'm a third world guy and they're all first world, thus smarter and no better than me. They went to U.S. grade schools and universities and I went to third world ones. After experiencing that, I almost think U.S. liberal arts schools tend to lower, not raise, IQs. Since I'm in the liberal arts program, so many of my friends and acquaintances are in the liberal arts too. It's disheartening to see how so many smart college-level people are in love with socialist theories, so much so they're incapable of unbiased observation. It was all a shock to me. How did it get that way? Coming from my background, I have no faith in politicians. I'm apolitical myself. I believe that all politicians, even if they start with good intentions, eventually become corrupted, as every big organization does, even churches and charities. The perfect example is how, when you're on campus, no one can mention Republicans, MAGA, or Trump without people rolling their eyes and feeling the hate coming through. I'm apolitical myself, so I don't believe in Trump or anyone else. Though it's interesting to note, nearly every Venezuelan I know who's become a U.S. citizen votes Republican. Funny how nearly all Cuban exiles who've got American citizenship vote Republican, too. Try to explain that to the average woke person. They don't want to hear it. And then there's that problem of using the wrong pronoun. If English is your second language, like it is for me, you will make that dreaded pronoun error all the time. He, she, it, they. You know, in Spanish, most words have a male or female gender. El for male, the designated masculine words, and la, la, for the designated female words. It's been like that in the Spanish language for thousands of years. So then technically, by woke rules, the whole Spanish language is a sexist patriarchy. So then what are Spanish language literary folks supposed to do? Create another pronoun for gays, lesbians, trans, and fluid people? Or drop the pronouns altogether? They're talking about altering the communication methods of an entire culture. As you spoke about a few shows ago, Johnny, first world people, even second and third generation Latinos, have invented a new term for us, Latinx. I grit my teeth when I hear that phrase. Somehow it doesn't seem to matter that we've got 1,000+ years of being known as Latinas and Latinos. But it seems woke people know better. You can trust they will improve our culture for us, even though 99% of the woke ones are white Caucasians or second and third generation Latinos and Latinas who don't even speak Spanish and never have been back to the homeland. But that tiny minority knows what's best for the 500 million people who live in Mexico, Central and South America. Another sad, even scary thing I found out about U.S. universities is that so few intellectuals know their own limits. Professors, teachers, even students can be experts in their own chosen fields, but think their brilliance extends to everything. They politicize everything too and reject the science that doesn't agree with their politics. And when they find out I escaped with my parents from a failed authoritarian regime, they say the U.S. created the conditions for it to fail. None of my smart, liberal, university-trained friends have ever been to one of our socialist paradises. though I invite him to visit for not just a vacation, but for a few months. Spend time with the locals outside of the cities. Not for just a week or two like most church do-gooder groups. They get the propagandized version. They get the official approved tour guide who tells them and shows them exactly what the government wants them to see and hear. But no, my smart gringo and Latino friends don't have time for fact-finding. They'd rather get their info from the internet or CNN Español. My college student friends had their minds made up years before they ever met me. So many of them believe socialist regimes in Latin America only failed because of U.S. interference. Though, Johnny, I do admire people who stand for something, even if it's totally wrong or based on false facts. It's sad to see how do-gooders and nearly all educated liberal arts professionals align with socialist ideas. Someone tell me, please, why is it you can almost never find a Venezuelan who believes socialism was good for his country? Why do you think so many millions of us have escaped? What makes my California college friends turn everything, including science, into a woke political discussion? It seems so easy to understand that when science is funded by governments and bureaucrats, and mostly from government grants at government-funded universities, you're bound to get false facts and biased conclusions. Reminds me of the worldwide notion that Cuba somehow has developed miraculous medical treatments that are being suppressed by the U.S., therefore unavailable even being covered up by the First World. The other persistent myth is that Cuba sends their doctors to world hotspots as selfless saviors with amazing knowledge and techniques that only Cuban medical schools can provide. Well, my own cousin on my mother's side is one of those loaned out Cuban doctors. He tells me he never touched, much less had seen in person, much of the modern first world high-tech hospital equipment you see in every small town American hospital. He saw none of that in Cuba or any of the cell-level treatments until he traveled abroad as a doctor on loan from Cuba to Argentina. He said before that experience, he only knew the latest equipment from seeing it on the internet. And according to policy, he says, he must put on a happy face and talk the party line when out of his country and on loan. He's got a family back home. That's a requisite for traveling Cuban doctors, too. You can't travel outside of Cuba as a doctor unless you have a wife, children, or close family members as sort of an insurance policy. There's always that pressure to be a good, closed-mouth Latinx person. That's my rant, Johnny. I've been saving it up. I'm so glad I found your channel because I think there's no other forum that would give me equal time to say my piece. Signed, Carlos Charlie M. Well, thanks for that, Charlie. Great rant. Glad to give you a forum. You've pretty much said it all.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.